Amen. Welcome to Grace United Church of Christ, our online worship service. We're so glad that you can join us. And no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And we're so glad that you are able to join us, whether on Zoom or on Facebook. A couple announcements before we get going. Next week, we are going to be going back into the sanctuary. And that has a lot of rules attached to it. And you probably got your newsletter with a set of guidelines and what the expectations you that are there for you that the council has agreed on. And Jack will send an email later today. But we do invite you to review those guidelines if you're coming in. But we also encourage you, if you don't feel safe to come back in, if it's just not the right time, please stay at home. We will still have it on Zoom. We'll have it online. The most important thing is that you're safe and that you feel comfortable. And so if you don't feel comfortable coming in the sanctuary, it's okay. You can worship at home. I know Jessica and Jamie, they will be worshiping at the parsonage for a while now, just because they don't feel comfortable coming over and as well. So that is okay. But for those who would like to come in, there are guidelines and you will be led into the worship space next week. So it's exciting. But it's also, we have to be careful and be conscious of those around us. Also, if we go up an emergency level, we will send out a notification, but we will not be having worship if we do go up. And so it's important also to know that as we get going. Special word of thanks for Jack, who is our liturgist this morning, and Terry, who brought in some lovely flowers into our sanctuary. And we also want to lift up Perry, who continues to record the music on his phone. And so we give thanks for his flexibility as a musician in this time, which is not easy to do, but he is doing it. So we give thanks this morning. So I invite you to join me into the call to worship. And when I raise my hand, I invite you to say, God, you free those who cry out. God, you free those who cry out. Let us come together in our call to worship. This morning we approach the waters of the Red Sea. God, you free those who cry out. The path looked like a dead end, but Moses stretched out his hand. God, you free those who cry out. Sickness to health, suffering to peace, death to life. God, you free those who cry out. Let us worship the God that delivers those in need. Amen.
Now, if you have printed up your bulletin, if you would join me in our prayers of confession. God, our Creator, we offer our prayer as persons who often feel less than whole. We have experienced losses that have diminished us. We have found our attention to your will divided by other claims upon us. We have discovered how difficult it is to fulfill our best intentions. God, our sustainer, we offer our prayer as a people who often feel less than whole. We have sensed the incompleteness to our unity whenever the differences between us seem more important than the one spirit that gives us common life. We have practiced a fractional faith. We have divided our loyalties in ways that do not allow full service to you, our one and only God. Forgive us and enable us to enjoy the fullness of your love. Strengthen us and inspire us to wholehearted devotion. We pray with voices united in the name of Jesus Christ.
So now we enter into a brief moment of silence. hear these words of assurance. Neither this world nor your life is so broken that God cannot restore it to wholeness. Trust and believe that after separation, reconciliation is possible. God does show us the way home. In the name of Christ Jesus, your sin is forgiven. Amen.
Our first reading today comes from Exodus chapter 14, verses 19 through 31. God's messenger, who had been in front of Israel's camp, moved and went behind them. The column of cloud moved from the front and took its place behind them. It stood between Egypt's camp and Israel's camp. The cloud remained there, and when darkness fell, it lit up the night. They didn't come near each other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord pushed the sea back by a strong east wind all night, turning the sea into dry land. The waters were split into two. The Israelites walked into the sea on dry ground. The waters formed a wall for them on their right hand and on their left. The Egyptians chased them and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and cavalry. As morning approached, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian camp from the column of lightning and cloud and threw the Egyptian camp into a panic. The Lord jammed their chariot wheels so that they wouldn't turn easily. The Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites because the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the water comes back and covers the Egyptians, their chariots, and their cavalry." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. At daybreak, the sea returned to its normal depth. The Egyptians were driving toward it, and the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the cavalry, Pharaoh's entire army that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. The Israelites, however, walked on dry ground through the sea. The waters formed a wall for them on their right hand and on their left. The Lord rescued Israel from the Egyptians that day. Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the amazing power of the Lord against the Egyptians. The people were in awe of the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses.
Thank you, Jack. Our second scripture comes from Psalm 103. And the reason why we're including Psalm 103 is a reminder that the Exodus story is constantly referred to in the Judeo-Christian faith. It's referred to as an act of God's liberation for that moment, but worth remembering through all times, because that work that God is still freeing exists even in this moment. And so I invite you to listen to the words of Psalm 103, maybe even close your eyes and enter a moment of prayer as we listen to the psalmist recount those events and how their God is at work in their life. Let my whole being bless the Lord. Let everything inside me bless his holy name. Let my whole being bless the Lord and never forget all his good deeds. How God forgives all your sins, heals all your sickness, saves your life from the pit, crowns you with faithful love and compassion, and satisfies you with plenty of good tidings, so that your youth is made fresh like an eagle's. The Lord works righteousness, does justice for all who are oppressed. God made his way known to Moses, made his deeds known to the Israelites. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, very patient, and full of faithful love. God won't always play the judge. He won't be angry forever. He doesn't deal with us according to our sin or repay us according to our wrongdoing. Because as high as heaven is above the earth, that is how large God's faithful love is for those who honor him. As far as east is from the west, that's how far God has removed our sin from us. Like a parent feels compassion for their children, that is how the Lord feels compassion for those who honor him. Because God knows how we are made, God remembers we are just dust. The days of human life are like grass. They bloom like a wildflower, but when the wind blows through, it's gone. Even the ground where it stood doesn't remember it. But the Lord's faithful love is from forever ago to forever from now for those who honor him. And God's righteousness reaches to the grandchildren of those who keep his covenant and remember to keep his commands. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. You divine messengers, bless the Lord. You who are mighty in power and keep his word, who obey everything he says, bless him. All you heavenly forces, bless the Lord. All you who serve him and do his will, bless him. All God's creatures, bless him. Everywhere throughout his kingdom, let my whole being bless the Lord. Amen. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners or cynicism is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. Ring the bell that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Some of you know that we have a preschool now using our building on weekdays. And this week, it was my pleasure to be invited to join their class for a guest presentation. They invited a naturalist working for Fairfield County to come in and talk to the kids about monarch butterflies. We walked out to the prayer garden, sat on the bricks, and listened to a story about a butterfly's life cycle. The naturalist asked the kids if they had seen a caterpillar before, and of course, that prompted four different stories being shared at the same exact time about a caterpillar they once saw. Needless to say, the kids were very engaged and very excited. And then she read a part of the story where the caterpillar makes a chrysalis, this cocoon, on a plant. And that's where it stays from 5 to 24 days. After hearing this, a very, very concerned student spoke up and said, "So they're trapped in that little thing all alone." And the naturalist said, "Yes, but they are undergoing a transformation. Just wait and see." This is our final week of a four-part worship series on Exodus. And some of you may be wondering, how long will the Israelites be trapped in Egypt? Unlike the caterpillar and its chrysalis, the Israelites, however, have been forced to stay in Egypt, made to do hard labor in oppressive conditions. They have endured lopsided laws that were designed to keep them in their place, treating them more like agricultural equipment than the living and breathing beings that they were. Their situation had little hope. They were just surviving. And I may sound like a broken record, but it's worth repeating that even in Egypt, their cries reached the ear of God, the creator of life and breath, and God interrupts Pharaoh's scheme. God heard their cries and called on not only Moses, but Aaron, Shiphrah, Puah, and many others not named in the text, all to assist God in freeing the Israelites from Pharaoh's grip. Last week, we saw a glimmer of hope. The Hebrews were instructed by God to be alert and ready for freedom at any time. God told them to put on their clothes, carry a walking stick, have a good meal at the Passover feast, because coming very soon, God was about to break the chains that Pharaoh had forged. So due to the 10th plague, and with the taste of unleavened bread still in their mouths, Pharaoh orders all Israelites, men, women, and children, to leave Egypt all at once. And the Hebrews, again, already clothed, already fed, ready for this journey, the people join in this mass movement of refugees, and they begin to move out of Egypt. Imagine that. Children, parents, grandparents, all born and lived in slavery, now told they could leave Pharaoh's kingdom. They must have been beside themselves, maybe even leery if it was true. Could it be? Free at last? Where are we going to go? And to that question, God provides this large cloud, this pillar that leads them by day. So just like that, GPS, God positioning satellite. And at the same time and at night, that cloud leads them and it becomes bright like fire, like car headlights at night. And scripture says that that pillar of cloud never left the people, just like God. It was always by them leading forward. God leads them to a place right beside the Red Sea. So on one side we have the Red Sea, and on the other side we have Egypt. Now, back in Egypt, Pharaoh realizes he doesn't really want to change how things have been done, and he breaks his promise yet again. He grows angry that he has lost the slaves that literally built up his empire and built up his wealth. He commands his officers to ready his troops and chariots, and they are going after the Israelites to re-enslave them. In the distance, Moses sees the army coming closer. The people cry out in fear, some of them even okay with going back to Egypt if they can avoid war. But then, that giant cloud of fire moves from in front of the Israelites to behind them, and completely separates Pharaoh's war tools and his policies of domination from the people, protecting them for the time being. But the Israelites are still in a precarious position. Pharaoh on one side and raging waters on the other. Now, when we think of water, many of us think of a life-giving metaphor or life itself. And while this is one interpretation, the crossing of the Red Sea is filled with imagery from the creation story in Genesis. For Jewish people listening to this story, the image of water would have brought back images of when the earth was a formless void in darkness and water. Water covered everything. In the Hebrew scriptures, water is often associated with the chaos of creation, before God got down to work. There was no land, no soil, no plants, no animals, no people, because everything was water. It was chaos. And so in that light, the Israelites are not only caught between Pharaoh and a particular body of water, but they are also surrounded on all sides by chaos. On one side, the chaos of Pharaoh's oppressive use of power. And on the other side, the chaos of water, perhaps also a symbol of Pharaoh's undoing of creation by his policies that take away life. Like all scripture, we are invited not only to read the stories, but think about the characters and how they reflect our world today. And in that way, we discern God's continuing presence in our lives. So let's begin with the pharaohs of today. They're usually not difficult to locate, and they aren't complicated people. Even in Exodus, his behavior is predictable and always self-serving. Their thirst for power cares little for those around them, so as long as they maintain power. Unlike the Israelites' God, pharaohs are quick to discredit anyone who cries out for freedom. Their policies often escalate violence and chaos instead of creating peace for those they are responsible to care for. Pharaohs are comfortable with the loss of human life, or should I say human life that looks like them or carries their same ethnicity. Pharaohs are driven by economic progress that benefits themselves and has little regard for those who are just surviving. So let's pause, and I invite you to think about, who is Pharaoh for you in this moment of time? What makes them Pharaoh? And who are they chasing after? You see, it isn't difficult to locate our Pharaoh in this time. And I'm sure we can all think of one individual that fits this characteristic quite well. What is difficult and very tiresome is the overwhelming groups of people who are trapped in Pharaoh's chaos. It is so overwhelming that in many of my conversations with you all, you have mentioned that you've had to take a break from reading the newspaper, watching nightly news, or checking Twitter or Facebook. Those places have become toxic. He encourages violence against black bodies who are only saying, "We can't breathe," or they're saying, "My hands are up, please do not shoot." Pharaoh denies climate change while people on the West Coast are returning to where their house used to be. Pharaoh instills fear of immigrants, passing public policy detaining families with children. Pharaoh instills fear and hatred for the most vulnerable and for our neighbor. Pharaoh is unwilling to address the seriousness of a virus that too often harms those who are in need, those without health insurance, those who are elderly and need a little bit more care, whose immune system isn't ready for it. Pharaoh is not a source of life, but a source of suffering and death. Many people are willing to jump on their chariots and follow, maybe not even knowing the violence of their rhetoric or their actions. But here's the thing. God does not stand idly by. Our God does not disengage, but confront such people and policies that prohibit God's creation from thriving. And with that, Moses stretches out his hand over the sea, and with the Lord causes a strong east wind to blow so hard that the water begins to part. And figuratively, the chaos is being split into two, and revealed is not only land, but dry land. And just like the third day of creation, the dry land makes it possible for God to create life. The Israelites descend between the walls of water which God is keeping at bay, and as the monarch butterfly will emerge from the chrysalis, God liberates the Israelites to the other side of the sea, transformed, made new by God's work. And the entire Exodus narrative concludes with these words from the jubilant Israelites. Yassa, God saves. God made a way out of no way. And this God values life. the dignity of all who have breath, and for all who are surrounded by chaos. With that being said, the aftermath of the Exodus is problematic. If you recall what Jack just read, Egyptian soldiers, many just following orders, perhaps making a living for their families, are dead because of the returning waters. One could conclude that they were consumed by the very chaos that Pharaoh created. Regardless, this is a difficult passage to reconcile with. But there is a helpful interpretation that I find peace with, and it comes from first century Sanhedrin rabbis who share God's thoughts after the crossing of the Red Sea. And this is the story that they shared with one another. That after the crossing of the Red Sea, there were angels who desired to sing a song of praise to God in response to the decisive victory over the Egyptians. God, however, says to them, "My handiwork, the Egyptians, are drowning in the sea, and you are reciting a song before me." What this passage demonstrates is that God values all life, but there are consequences to aligning oneself with that which is not life-giving. By aligning with Pharaoh, Egyptians suffered from the chaos they were complicit in. Their loss does not bring God joy. No one wins. And so it is the destruction of Pharaoh. Many of us desire a God that does choose sides, a God who is Democrat or Republican, or a God that is for the United States and against, well, any other country. The Exodus story reveals a deeper truth, that God has no concern for our either ors, our lines in the sand. God's only concern is life. Salvation is not simply this spiritual understanding, but it is an earthly understanding as well. It is not something in heaven or this afterlife, but it is also God's salvation that is breaking through in society and in our world. God is not a bystander hovering above the earth, but God is concerned with earthly matters, which isn't that the beauty of the incarnation? That through Jesus, God enters into the situation of the most vulnerable and then parts the seas of chaos, redeems them, delivers them, heals them, and saves them, and I dare say liberates them from that which brings chaos. As a prophet, Jesus calls each one of us to reflect his life in God that was lived and given so that others may have life. I realize many of us want to go to church and escape from the world around us. And trust me, there are times when that is appropriate and a faithful response and very healing. This is not one of those times. This is a difficult time in our country's history, but we must have faith. God is bigger than Pharaoh. Let me say that again. God is bigger than Pharaoh. God is the source of life. God is parting the seas of chaos in our lives and in the world. And our response should be Yassah. God saves. As I was saying earlier about joining the preschool class, the naturalist, she flipped the page. The student who once was concerned about that trapped caterpillar stood up and began to clap and cheer. And the picture that was revealed was a beautiful butterfly fully transformed, as promised, with bright orange and black wings. With their transformation complete, a monarch butterfly is capable of flying over 2,000 miles. Thanks be to God, who liberates those who cries out. Thanks be to God, who makes new life possible and surrounds us and resurrections. Amen. I invite you to join us for our first hymn, which is We Shall Overcome. As we enter into our pastoral prayer, there are some prayer requests that were mentioned before the service that we would like to lift up now. We have prayers of concern for Jessica's cousin, Ashley, who's going through a difficult time in her life. And so we keep Ashley and her family in our prayers this morning. We keep in prayer Jack and Terry wanted to lift up their niece, Colleen, who has some health issues. And they also want to lift up their nephew, Garrett, who is living on campus in college with his roommates, and two of them are positive with COVID. And it's possible that he might have COVID too. And so we keep them in our prayers, and hopefully that he will get through that and that he will get the attention that he needs. So we'll keep Colleen and Garrett in our prayers this morning. We also want to keep in prayer Sherry's stepmother, Peggy, who continues to go through health issues. And she was recently in conversation with hospice care. And so we keep Sherry in our prayers, and we certainly keep Peggy in our prayers in this moment of her life. We also keep continued prayers for those who are on the front lines fighting COVID, our healthcare workers, nurses, and doctors who are staying up late and keeping themselves separated from their families to keep them safe. If you've watched the news at all this week, you've seen the horrific images of the fires out west. We keep those families in our prayers who have lost everything, the firefighters that continuously are at work, and even those who are flying the helicopters around. We will hold all of those in prayers today and call on God to continue to be a source of healing in those communities. There are still devastation from the hurricanes down south, and we'll keep them in our prayers this morning as well. It was lifted up that our schools are going through a hard time with COVID and adjusting to this new way of life. Even here in Lancaster, the high school had to cut their day short because the masks were too hot for students. And so we keep in mind the education of our students and the safety of our teachers. We have a couple joys to lift up this morning. Some of them are my joys. My sister and my brother-in-law and my mother-in-law all have gotten new jobs in the past couple weeks. And that's a huge blessing for them, especially in these times. And maybe with that prayer, also lift up those who are struggling to find work, because it is a very difficult time for that process. But I want to lift up those. Nancy lifted up Zach, who was in a car wreck last week, and he is showing signs of improvement, which is great and good news, and we want to keep those blessings to keep on coming. So we remember Zach this morning. And it was also lifted up to celebrate our pets. During this time of social distancing, our crazy cats, our crazy dogs, and the ways that they bring us joy in this time. So let us come to God in a moment of prayer. Join with me. O holy God, who parts the seas of chaos in our lives, we come to you in prayer as people seeking the guidance and protection of that pillar of cloud. We have come with the weight of the trials we are experiencing in life. We come seeking to know you and your love for us that has the power to make us new once again. Present God, some of us are lonely. Some of us are longing so deeply for things to go back to normal. Some of us are very, very tired from the chaos that is constantly around us. But this morning we remember the Israelites. We remember what you did and how you interrupted their lives to bring something life-giving. We remember your awesome deeds and recall that you have been present with us in these moments too. God, we give thanks for all the blessings in our lives. We give thanks for our homes, the food we get to eat, clean drinking water, and we even give thanks for our breath. So that even when we feel surrounded on all sides, Hope always exists. Dry land is always near. And you, O God, are there to free us into new life, the life that you promised through Christ. Lord, we lift up all the prayers that were mentioned earlier. We pray that you are with all those in their situation, in their grieving, in their joy, and that you walk with them in all of life's journey. In this moment of silence, God, we lift up all the unspoken prayers that weigh on our hearts. Holy God, make a way to peace for all these people and situations. And we pray all of this in the words that your Son Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Some of you may have received in the mail this week, and if you haven't, let us know at the office, a packet on our stewardship campaign, which will be starting very soon. And we're reminded in this season of stewardship about our time and our talents and how we can use those for church, but maybe even more important this year, our resources. Even the money that we have is tremendously important for the church and our mission in the world. And so I encourage people to give what they can in this moment, this very unique moment in history. You can give by mailing it to the church. You can go to our website and you can click on give, and there's instructions on how to do that. But we ask you to consider that be a faithful response to what's going on in the world and what our church is up to. And for all the gifts that will be coming in and for our stewardship campaign, let us join in our prayer of dedication. Giver God, may these gifts, given from your abundant bounty, be used to part the seas of distress and suffering in the world. We dedicate these resources to furthering your work of creating a just world for all. Through Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. I invite you to join in our closing hymn, Crashing Waters at Creation.
Thank you.
So go into the world, knowing that you don't go into the world alone, but you go with God. You go with God, your creator, God the Spirit, your sustainer, and God in Christ, your redeemer. Go now in peace. Amen. Peace.